conferred with our furry friend. Radio Reverb.
You're listening to Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. My name is Josh and Carl and I will be guiding you through the next 60 minutes. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. This week, we'll be talking to Ian Sheldon. Information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do contact us on the HIVHour@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter on HIV_hour and Instagram at HIVHour. If you missed the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again on 4 p.m. on Monday and Tuesday at noon, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
You need to have someone paid to record that message for you.
Sorry.
You need to have someone paid to record that message for you. Welcome, everyone.
Sorry, it's just trying to say that. And I know. Gone red.
I'm sure all our listeners will be fully aware of the little blurb that we do at the beginning. Sometimes it's a tongue twister. So, how are you, Josh, today?
I'm all right. I was just going to start laughing then, but I'll come back into the room.
You came professional in the end. I carried on.
Yeah, I'm all right, actually. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, not too bad. Bit quiet at the moment with work and stuff. It's just for getting ready for the schools to start their syllabuses for sexual health and stuff like that, and then myself and Sue and other volunteers will go out into the community and talk about HIV in an open, honest way.
January is always quite a time anyway. January for everybody, isn't it? I've just been, I don't know, again, just been doing the usual stuff I say every week.
Yeah, it's just the normal thing to do in January, isn't it?
Yeah, hibernate.
Yes, hibernate.
We've got a good show today.
Yeah, so for all our listeners, we want you to be aware that all of us are living with HIV, and this is dedicated to people living with HIV and people affected by HIV as well. You don't have to live with HIV to know about it, but it's really good, especially in Brighton.
You know,
we've got high prevalence of HIV in Brighton, so we talk about it as much as we can, and we're very privileged to do that on the air on Radio Reverb.
Yeah, and we get good guests on as well who talk about their experiences and their journey.
Yes.
So. And today we've got Ian on today, Ian Sheldon, who's going to talk about his journey and his experiences. So we'll have a song.
Yeah,
it's one of your songs you've done, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called Exit Sign, and it's by Kalo. Bit of a poppy one. I'm a bit of a house fiend.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Yeah,
bring on the ass.
Yeah,
down the house.
Yeah. That was a nice little ditty that I had there.
Yeah, very bouncy, wasn't it?
Very bouncy. We like a bit of bouncy music. So, let's get to it. So, today in the studio, we have Ian Sheldon. Welcome, Ian.
Hiya.
Hi, Ian.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, how are you?
I look a bit nervy, but yeah, I'll be all right.
Yeah, well, what we're going to do is we're going to just go into a little bit of your backstory.
Right, okay.
And what you do in the community, because I know you're pretty forward in community thinking. And we are talking about HIV community here.
Yes.
So when did it all kind of start for you getting involved in community work, and why?
Well, I got diagnosed in 2003, and it was quite a shock because I was just come out of a relationship of 15 years, and suddenly I was positive and I didn't have any health issues whatsoever.
And I can imagine that time there wasn't a lot of information around.
No. And the thing is, everybody kept saying, if you got diabetes, it's worse than HIV.
Right.
Oh, and the thing is, I'm thinking, excuse me, this is worse for me.
Yeah.
And I was lucky. I was fit. I didn't go on to antiviral drugs till 2005.
Right.
Although my CD was 280.
Yeah.
Right. I still didn't have to go on medication. So it's good. So I had 2 years of...
Right.
And then things suddenly just got worse.
So that's where things have changed now, isn't it? Is where anyone that is diagnosed with HIV now, they go on medication straight away.
Yeah.
But back then, it was just making sure that you were healthy enough.
Yeah, and Lawson, you know, Lawson at County, it was body positive then.
Right.
And they introduced me and they helped me. So I did some volunteering there, and that's what happened.
Okay.
And over the years, like I said, I've got it 17 years now.
Right.
Is that I'd done little things, a little bits and that. But it has been a journey. Yeah. One or two. It's exercises, ups and downs.
Of course.
Yeah. One minute you're up, the next bit you're down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't. You don't know what you're going to feel like from day to day.
But there's a lot of support there, isn't there?
Oh, there's an awful lot of support in Brighton. It's lucky we're in Brighton.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, I've done a lot for THT and for the Beacon and for a Peer Action, which I do a lot for now.
So let's talk about Peer Action then. So they're a great community base for HIV.
Yeah, yeah, because what it came from a lounge group at THT, and people wanted to get involved because they've just left after 7 weeks.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you're thinking, oh my God, where do we go now?
Yeah.
So a couple of people started it up, and we've gradually gone from there, and it's to help people in the community.
Mm.
It's isolation. Isolation is a big fact for HIV people
because
they feel isolated, alone,
and
people need
and
to
get out. And that's regardless of your age as well,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
So, you know, you can be a 19, 20, 22-year-old that deals with depression and isolation. So, but you can be also older as well.
Oh,
so
of course you can be older. And the thing is, we started off for a 50-year-old group because we thought 50s would be better.
You
wanted that. And we found that younger people wanted to come in well.
Right.
So now it's open to anybody
or
who is affected or who wants support.
So what kind of things do you do?
Well, we do, it's community-based. We do, it's a yoga session once a week.
Okay.
Anybody can go there, and that's on a Tuesday.
Right.
And we do therapy days once a month at THT.
Yeah.
We do bowling once a month.
You organise swimming, don't you?
We organise swimming once a week.
Yeah.
And that's on a Tuesday at Bala County. And that's only £3.
So what a way to get out is just finding those ways. Yeah, to get out and about.
Like if you just go into PActionNet.co, then you'll find all the things that we do.
Yeah.
Because
so you mentioned about the £3 there. Is that subsidised?
It's subsidised.
Yeah.
The PAction subsidised some money towards stuff that goes. And like the yoga's only £3.50, I think.
Right. So when you think about the Rainbow Fund as well, they help out, don't they?
They've helped such a lot with our yoga, with all our stuff with yoga and therapy day. Because a therapy day on a Saturday, it's £5.
And where's that based?
That's at THT.
Yeah, it's a Tarantino.
And that's the last Saturday of every month.
And that's on Ship Street. In Brighton,
and like I said, if it wasn't for the Rainbow Fund, because you know, £5 for half an hour, and it gives you so much help.
I've been a couple of times.
Yes. Have you?
Such a great way to kind of. I actually had things in my ears, and they burn it.
Candles.
Yeah,
oh God.
That's weird.
What, a swimming pool?
No, that's cool.
Oh, got mixed up.
No, but you mixed it up.
So that's quite good. But there's loads of different therapists, and there's also hypnotherapy as well.
Yeah, and it's massage that. And this is just one thing, because we actually try and do things to help, and I'm going to start up a quiz night, games night.
Oh, great.
Next month, so keep an eye on that. So we've got loads of games.
I suppose it's just connecting with people.
It's connecting with people because a lot of people don't realise, however old you are, isolation, HIV isolates a lot of people. And sometimes you don't feel like mixing with people, sometimes you do.
Mm.
You just got to go with the flow.
Yeah.
And I think because I was 48 when I was positive, and I thought, oh my God, this could never happen to me. And of course it came, and the world changes.
Yeah.
And it takes you a long time to come to terms with it, I suppose. And in my case, I think same as you, I had cancer from it. And it, you know, hit. Well, that was a complete, you know, shock in a way. But it wasn't as bad as the HIV.
So it's not dealing with the HIV, but then you've got a secondary.
A secondary condition comes into it. And that comes with, I mean, our listeners may know or may not know, but if you leave HIV untreated or, you know, your medication isn't working or not taking it correctly, it just depletes your body and it allows other infections to come into your system, and cancer is one of the main ones that comes into your life if you have untreated HIV.
And it's the side effects of the medication or of the cancer that's causing me the problems I have now.
Yeah.
And you live with it every day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and, you know, there is support out there.
Mm. So let me just go back to, so you started off with just a group of guys.
A group of guys.
Yeah, just wanting
and then
to
got
get
bigger,
together.
Yeah.
And then you became a registered charity, yes?
In 2005. 13, I think.
Right,
it was.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And Richard Jenner used to do it, and then he's moved on. And there's other people, and there's a new lot of trustees. Right. And it's thanks to the Rainbow Fund that we do that. But it's volunteer based.
Right, yeah.
So nobody gets paid, and it's people's free time to
so
do
is
it.
There, is there. A time of the year when you ask for volunteers?
All the time all the we time. Wanted.
So that's something for our listeners there. So if anyone wants to get involved,
and
then
if you
can see Peer Action.
And also, if they've got an idea, if they want to do a trip or they want to do something, they come to a planning group and then they can, we give them help to do something.
So they can organise.
They can organise something, and that's is what is the community is for.
That's really good.
And the thing is, like I said, they do the normal things that. The swimming, the yoga, and the therapy days, but anything else people want.
So days out, for example.
Yeah,
and stuff.
If they want to do that, we're there to, help you to organise it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's about taking those first steps, about contacting someone. So if you are feeling isolated at the moment, January is a horrible time of the year anyway, and we all get that seasonal affective disorder where we just don't like the winter, and it's really important that you reach out.
It is reach out. And the thing is, like I said, I've got some really good friends. And like I said, I did Reverb years ago with Martin Sheffield, and we had a laugh, and it was quite good. And it's interesting how many people are isolated.
But that these things like the show and the
It does help. And the thing is, because you can have about 100 friends, but you still feel alone.
So
it's trying to reach out to them, and it is all confidential,
right?
So you don't have to be afraid, because when we go out to do groups or something, it's by social,
right?
So you haven't got that fear.
We're all together, oh my god, this is exciting. Now we're just gonna have a little song break actually, and then we'll come back
okay
as well.
That's great.
So your first one was Amelia Sanders.
Yes
Read so read all about it.
I know,
is that a poignant for you?
Yeah, it is. Song? And only that, she did Pride, didn't she, last year?
Oh yeah, she did,
and she's fabulous, and the Olympics she did, so it's a nice song.
It's a good song, isn't
it's
it?
It's a good song.
Let's have a listen.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the HRV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM and online. Welcome back to Ian and to Carl.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hi.
So, what do you think? This is the question. What do you think the future of HRV is going to go in? How's it in the next 10 years?
I think what's happening is people realising that with the HRV tablets and a thing that you can try and have a normal life. Mm. And the thing is, you don't have to be ashamed of you being positive, because you can't give it to anybody.
No.
And it's the other diseases that are more affected. So I think it's that stigma. And I think we're moving on to that.
I think we're slowly moving there. And I think we are lucky in Brighton as well talking about HIV.
Yeah, because I think that, a lot of people are so... if you go on stuff that you go say you're positive and that, and you feel quite a leper,
you're opening yourself up.
And yet what's happening over the last couple of years is that we can't give it to anybody. As long as you take your medication, as long as you're healthy, and you take, it's amazing how we've gone from the 80s, because I remember where all that awful business, and then suddenly
it's opened up.
But it's hard.
I think it's the main thing now is stigma, isn't it? Now I think that's a big thing, isn't it? Stigma now,
and there's self-stigma there as well. If you're like you were saying before, if you're there isolated, you don't want to tell anybody around you. But actually, for me personally, getting it off my chest was one of the best things I ever did, and telling people and being open about it. So it's a tough decision.
Yeah, and also each person's story is different.
Exactly.
Everybody's got a different sort of bear. And the thing is, before I was, quite lively about my being positive, whereas now I'm a lot more isolated with that, because it's not that important.
Yeah, I get that.
But then it's two groups of people. It's people that can work and they have a normal life, and then there's other people that can't. And they can't do it because it's an illness that you can't see.
Yeah.
And that is the major
problem. It's psychological,
problem.
Isn't it?
It's a psychological, so, as well because as, people see you and think, oh, you look good, and you're not really.
So it just makes you feel bad.
Yes.
It's awkward, you know. Yeah. Like I said, people don't realise. They see the person, but they don't see under the person.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you said the main thing there that you mentioned was you can't see HIV.
No.
So the best thing to do is reach out to the community that you maybe feel most comfortable in.
Yeah.
And going back to Peer Action, something that Peer Action does very well, and that's integrating you back into the community.
And then you've got Lunch Positive as well. So we've got loads of little other things that help you. We're really lucky.
In Brighton, this area. Yeah, we are.
But like I said, Peer Action and the other stuff is open to everybody.
Yeah.
If you're living in Worthing or Crawley, you know, we are there to help and support people.
Could you just give us details for Peer Action? And then
It's Peer Action, peeraction.net website.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We'll do it at the end as well. But
okay.
Peer Action at net. Yeah,
great.
Because it's changed. Because if you did the UK one, you'd get a different website.
Ah, okay.
So you don't want that, do you?
No. So we're going to your last track. So,
okay.
Yes, it's Donna Summer's Last Dance. Does that mean anything to you?
It means a lot because I'm one of those old queens. let's remember when she came out. I love to love. And the Last Dance, in those days, again, I seem so old, is that you'd go to a club.
Yeah.
And the last record was a slow dance. Yeah. So you'd high up a person all night,
right.
And then you grab him to have a last dance.
That's when Last Orders was around, wasn't it?
You would do that because, you know, whereas these days, you don't, it's a phone.
Well, let's take you back.
You're checking your phone out.
Yeah. Let's take you back to that era. That's Last Dance by Donna Summer.
Really good to see you as well, Ian. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Radio Reverb 97.2fm.com online as well. So that was Donna Summer. Ian's now left the studio, so that was nice to get his kind of view.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do, isn't it?
On community news that we obviously try and cover as much as we can on the show.
Yeah.
But it's also good to have some representations of people living with HIV and also do great work for the community as well.
Yeah, so Peer Action is just a good organisation, isn't it?
Yeah,
so it's good. We'll shout that out later.
Yeah, so if you want to get in touch, please do. So as you know, obviously we do try and cover some stories that are happening across the UK as much as we can on the show, and there's been some interesting news come out regarding PrEP.
Okay.
So just for our listeners there, PrEP is something that somebody who is HIV negative, so they don't have HIV, can take a pill, which is the same pills and medication as somebody living with HIV would take, to protect them against contracting HIV. And this can be a pill that is sourced through the NHS, and unfortunately there are waiting lists, but that's just to explain to the listeners what PrEP actually is, and it's been a big game changer within the world of HIV recently. So, but what they have sort of started to find and started to do some kind of information finding on is that it could possibly open up more opportunities for other STIs to come in. When we say STIs, that's sexually transmitted infections. The reason being is because PrEP, you don't really need to use a condom. We say that you should use a condom with it, and so do the health professionals. But at the same time, there is a very big gap there, and no doubt people are just using the pill as a form of protection against HIV, not as well as the condoms. So then that could potentially open up, you know, more STIs coming into your body.
Well, people get a bit complacent maybe in thinking that they won't get anything else because of the PrEP. I suppose, as you say, it's keeping it out informed, isn't it? People informed.
So it's split into kind of bacterial kind of STIs, and then there's viral STIs. And the ones that are the most, at the peaks of time are gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia, and chlamydia's super strain Well, right. And the super strain of chlamydia, unfortunately, is something that you can't see, a little bit like HIV. And the consequences of that is if they're left untreated, then that could lower your immune system, and that could, you could actually contract HIV from right. unwanted other STIs as well.
Yeah.
So it is about getting the message out there. As much as PrEP is an amazing advancement in HIV, there's still unanswered questions about, you know, if we take away the condoms, surely that is going to open up the opportunities of more STIs coming into your life.
Yeah, because some people don't like wearing condoms, do they? And that's,
no. That's nature, is really annoying. And is, you know, that's when people start blaming and saying, well, yeah. your fault, you know, you can protect yourself against these, so you should be using protection like condoms.
Yeah.
Now, we know it's not as easy as that. You're in that moment and you got that on one hand and that on the other, and you're like, okay, and that's when the slip-up can happen. So PrEP does work. So when you look at it like that, PrEP actually is working, but it's just what the study is going to be able to find is that because of the increased STIs, they are going to be looking at things like, is there anything we can do with medication? Is there extra medication that we could take for syphilis, gonorrhea or chlamydia? And just trying to get that down as much as possible. But we've got so much going on. I mean, the facts and figures are quite shocking.
Go on, shock me.
They go back as 1917. They first recorded syphilis and gonorrhea came in, and in 1914 and 27 as well, when the guys came back from war as well. So
it's prevalent then,
it was really prevalent.
Right.
So we've had troubles. We've got around about, in 1950s, we had 60,000 cases
of syphilis.
Of syphilis.
Right.
And in 2017, we're at 44,000. People living with a sexually transmitted infection.
Right.
So there's been an increase over that for 22%.
That's quite a lot.
So is it people getting complacent, like you mentioned? You know, thinking that PrEP is working for them, or they think it's not going to happen to me, so I don't need to protect myself.
And also, you could say that there is treatment out there. So maybe people haven't got as much, I can get treated for it.
Yeah.
It could happen, couldn't it?
And then we get into the parts of stigma.
Yeah.
So the stigma literally going in to a clinic.
Yeah.
People don't like going into a clinic full stop, or some people don't. And we need to get around that. You know, we've said on the show many times, you buy a car, you MOT the car, it's only worse. MOTing your own body at the same time. And I'm sure somebody out there would be mortified if they'd found out they'd passed on syphilis or gonorrhea to somebody else.
Yeah.
So, and HIV, I mean, you know, so it's an issue, but by the looks of, you know, public health getting involved and stuff, like you say, people being more aware.
It's re-educating. Keep educating and keeping the campaigns coming, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. But, you know, I think we just need to keep aware of that a condom is the best way of protecting yourself against HIV, chlamydia, gonorrhea and syphilis.
I saw this is in connection, Terence Higgins Trust, there's a chem, sex and PrEP study.
Right.
So this is research participants needed. So who can participate? A man, including trans men who has had sex with other men. Sorry, I'm reading this out, so it sounds like I'm... these are people who can participate, who has had chemsex and is using PrEP. Or has used PrEP.
Yeah.
So what is involved, it's a 45-minute telephone call. You can discuss your chemsex and PrEP use experience confidentially. And you receive a £20 Amazon e-voucher.
Okay. So
that's a good
incentive. Yeah.
So to find out more, please contact Stephen, and that's stephen.maxwell16@ucl.ac.uk.
Yeah, so that'll be.
So if you want to do the study,
that'll be the colleges and yeah. universities doing that. Yeah. Sorry, universities. What a great way to get involved. And, you know, PrEP is something that is talked about a lot at the moment. And in Wales and Scotland, it's readily available to everybody. Right. Unfortunately, in the UK, it's a waiting list. So if you want to go on that waiting list, then we suggest you speak to your GP, your local GP, and they can guide you in the way or get help from the Terence Higgins Trust or any other charity that is out there offering advice.
Great. Should we have a song?
Let's have a song. So we've got Therapy by Duke DeMont.
Do you like Duke DeMont?
I do like Duke DeMont.
You look like you like Duke DeMont.
I do. Thanks.
Welcome back to Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM in the Brighton area.
A bit of mix with the music
like that?
Today. Yeah,
yeah,
I like
that's
that.
Good, that. That's good.
Duke DeMont are a really good band, a really good group, so that's good. So,
what's next?
What's next? So, yeah, let's talk about, you know, we've got a few things, again, in the media at the moment, covering a lot about HIV and how far we've come with HIV. Yeah. And there's a few places in the country back in the 80s and early 90s really, really struggled with getting infections down. And it was mainly because of intravenous drug using.
Right.
So Liverpool really struggled in the 80s to try and get people educated enough to try and use separate needles, so no cross-contaminations, but they were struggling with that. And people, lots and lots of people across Liverpool were getting diagnosed with HIV pretty quick, and it was a role.
Right.
A lot of people were getting it very, very quick. At first it was the gay plague, then it was only like gay people get it, and then they had lots of cases where they were actually having babies born with HIV in the 80s and 90s in Liverpool.
Okay.
So that clearly doesn't come from men who have sex with men. So then they started, and in 1986, that's when the needle exchange came into play.
Okay. That was in Liverpool, that was across the country, was it?
It was across the country, but Liverpool were the forefront of that, and it really helped with getting the facts and figures down. And there's, you know, there's people that have been working for charities in Liverpool that are now, they're, you know, they were actually told in the 80s that they only had 3 weeks to 3 months to live.
Oh.
That's it. And that was actually happening. So it wasn't just hearsay that you were going to pass away quick. It was actually happening. So they actually managed to get their figures down by helping educate drug users and also helping with needle exchanges as well. And then they were finding out that it just wasn't in Liverpool, obviously. It's all over the UK. So, but it's just interesting that Liverpool, you know, they've gone full circle. They had the worst figures about HIV and other STIs, but now they're the top. They are on top of their figures. They do really well at interventions with people that are using drugs, making sure that intravenous drug users are getting the right equipment and the right information as well.
Yeah.
So it's just to touch on, it's really difficult because we have so much news about HIV.
It's hard
to know what to pick for the show sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will sit through information and go, do you know what? That is really, really important that, you know, up north, they really struggled with it, and now they're at the forefront of great figures. They've hit their targets for fast-track cities, which is 90% of people living with HIV are on medication, are diagnosed, and then 90% are on medication. And they've hit those targets ages ago.
It's like they've got a project, haven't they?
Yes.
Is it Mersey Project or something?
It is. It's called the Mersey Project,
And that's brought people together, isn't it?
Yeah.
Clergymen as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. People are working together.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's about communities working together.
Yeah.
And it's not just the gay communities. We now know, and we've known for quite some time, but a lot of public don't know that it's not just men who have sex with men that contract HIV. It is anybody. Well, you know, we have to start it off by saying HIV stands for human. So if you're a human being, you are susceptible to contracting HIV. Simple as. So it's just, you know, interesting to have a look at the facts and figures, really.
Yeah, no, it's good to just, all the towns in the country doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of your songs, Feel Good.
Yeah, yeah. This is Fats and Small. Fats and Small are a Brighton, or were a Brighton couple of guys that did, and they did a lot of their videos around Brighton as well. And I'd love this. This just takes me back.
Feel Good. So, Carl, what do you think? Question.
Yeah.
How do you feel about disclosing your HIV status to a sexual partner, if it's a casual or...
Yes, so I've been through different parts of this through my diagnosis. So I was diagnosed 9 years ago this year, and I battled with this for many, many months, and it really, really, you know, it can mess with your mind.
Yeah.
Because what do you do? Should you? Well, there isn't any laws there.
No, I've looked at that, actually. They say there's no laws in this country.
About disclosing to any of your sexual partners. Now, you can see it a couple of ways. The way I did it firsthand was I'd meet somebody, I'd get to know them, let them get to know me, and then it's like you're ready to drop a bomb and test the relationship that you've got already. And if you've done your groundwork and you've got the signs of a stable relationship or friendship, then you can divulge your information and say, I'm actually living with HIV. That's up to them how they take the information then.
Yeah.
My reckoning is, I wouldn't want to go out with somebody anyway who has an issue.
Okay.
So as much as I'll sit there down with them and possibly talk through a few things with them about HIV, if they're not interested,
then it's not worth it. Yeah. I mean, America, there's a story here about this guy in America who he served 8.5 years in prison and 3 years after on parole because his ex-girlfriend testified that he'd give her HIV. And then later she denied it. She said she didn't. She lied, basically. So he spent all that time in prison and she'd lied. So
there is an element of trust when it comes to... You know, sitting down and disclosing your status, there has to be an element of trust. And also the question of what are you going to achieve from telling somebody?
Yeah.
Is it going to benefit you or is it going to make you feel a little bit more depressed about things? And me personally, a lot of people that I know and, you know, I am on the dating scene and I do divulge my information on the dating scene firsthand on my profile. So I don't really have that awkward conversation anymore.
I think if you're undetectable, then you can't pass it on.
No.
So, but as we were talking about earlier, it's other STIs maybe as well. So you have to be aware of that as well, don't you?
And we get this thing about not having a conversation with our sexual partners.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's a fear thing, isn't it?
It is.
I feel that sometimes.
Yeah.
So, but that, I mean, we're doing a dating show again, aren't we? So
we are.
Not again, but we're doing a dating show in, it's going to be the week of Valentine's
Week. Right, okay.
So maybe we can talk about it more
in depth. Yeah, really, try and get some feedback from our, you know, our listeners and see what's the best way. We know there's no law there to say that you have to tell somebody you're living with HIV, but me personally, it's a moral thing. And secondly, for me, I enjoy my time with that person more when they know that I'm living with HIV as well.
Yeah, you're open, aren't you?
You're open. Yeah.
Should we do some community news?
Yes.
Do you want to go first?
No, I'll go first.
Okay. So, you know, I've talked about Work Positive. I'm an advocate of Work Positive. This is just a reminder that Work Positive are online now. It's digital. So if you don't like coming to workshops or, you know, you don't feel like it, but you want to be in the comfort of your own home and you can do the course in your own time, you want to gain skills and confidence, then this is a program for you because it's online now. So it's great. If you want to apply or you're interested, email workpositiveonline@tht.org.uk or you can call, it's a London number, it's 0207 812 1752 and that's Ruth or Zainab, I think I've got that right. So yeah, it's worth having a look at and online is great, really.
Well, it's just different ways of, you know, we're evolving, aren't we, with our ways of getting people interacting. You know, we do need to sort of look at different ways of, you know, if you're not great at going out in social...
good for that, absolutely.
You've still got that point of contact there, which is really, really good.
It's opening up to people who feel they can't go out. I was talking again with Ian about feeling ostracised and So it's all good stuff.
Yeah, and going on the back of that, there are many ways of getting help, and we have some free and confidential counselling at the Terence Higgins Trust on Ship Street. And you know, it's anybody affected by HIV. And I opened up the show by saying, you know, we're here for people affected by HIV, not just for people living with HIV. So that could be friends or family of people living with HIV as well. It's on Ship Street in Brighton. There is no charge for this, which is great. And that's for up to 12 sessions. And you can call Luth, that's L-U-T-H.
I think it's L-U-Z. Sorry to interrupt.
Sorry, it's L-U-Z. It is, you're right, yeah. L-U-Z.
Yeah.
At the Terence Higgins Trust, thanks. It is 01273-764-200. And that's Ask for Luth. And you're more than welcome to leave a message there as well.
Great. Healthwatch Brighton and Hove, that's a local champion for health and social care, they've launched this thing called Speak Up 2020, and it's a campaign calling on people to share the changes they want to see in their local health and care services. So whether it's mental health care experiences, hospital, social care support, or any other health service, you can contact them. People can share the changes by completing a short online service. So if you want to get in touch, it's Health Watch Brighton and Hove, and you can phone them on 01273 234 0400, or you can email them office@healthwatchbrightonandhove.co.uk, or by completing a short online service if you go on the website. So that's... It's another thing happening, yeah.
Yeah, and then just to end, we've got the Sussex Beacon are basically looking for volunteers. They're always looking for volunteers, but currently looking for volunteers, part-time volunteers for their catering team. So if you would like to get in touch with Jan.Selwyn at sussexbeacon.org, or even phone them up and they will be able to help you there. But that is for Sussex Beacon as well.
Oh, lots of stuff going on.
Lots of stuff.
Well, that was a good show, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was nice.
So next week, we might have Sue and Stuart back next week.
I think so. So Sue is just having on a day off today. And we'll have the original team back next week. So you can listen to
any
of our shows. I don't know it. Shows on the catch-up section on RadioReverb.com.
It's a listen again page.
Yeah. That's it. And if you've got anything that you want to tell the show or tell us, any requests for music or any
but so the dating as well.
The dating one is really important. Yeah. Mind your feedback on that. Please get in touch with us at RadioReverb.com.
Okay. Well, it's been a good show.
Good show.
We finished with, this is a good track, Eight Letters by Holmes Ives, and it's the David Penn remix.
Excellent.
Good night for me.
And good night for me.
Come aboard, sister.
Radio Reverb.